Hello, welcome to the Livestreams Carawarra podcast. We're delighted to have you join us. We invite you to sit back, relax, and listen to our latest episode. Thanks for joining.
Okay, friends, I will encourage you to take a seat and we'll get into our time together. Just want to say a couple of things up front. Just want to say thank you for being here tonight. We are a little bit lighter on number. There are a number of people away. Some people are sick, and great that you could make tonight. So thank you. Thank you for coming out. And we continue in our series out of the book of Galatians. I have the last part of chapter 2, which is kind of like a part 2 to what Vandana shared last week. If you haven't heard that message is online on our website. You can check that out. So I'll sort of be tag-teaming with Vandana and what she shared last week. And really the section before us tonight really deals with what I've always come to love and say are two outstanding leaders in the New Testament, Peter and Paul. And often they have different but complementary ministries working side by side, and both are called to lead by example. Now, Vandana last week highlighted there was a little bit of a tension going on between Peter and Paul in the first part of what she shared, and then I'm going to sort of tack on the end of that particular scripture. I think for us, as we think about this scripture, when we drill down to really what does it mean for us, we see maybe Paul and Peter having a little bit of a disagreement here. For us, I think this passage talks about what it means to maintain integrity before Jesus, before Him. Integrity in our life, and particularly when it's difficult to do so. There are situations where it's difficult to say, I will keep this track of what is right, and really means what we say we will do. And there will be moments, and I think you can attest to this, that our integrity will be tested, and it's good to be aware. So I want to start with a creative illustration of what is titled The Integrity Test by Edward Skidmore. What would you do in this situation? We might be like the salesman I read about, he goes on to say. He was waiting to see the purchasing agent so he could submit his company's bid. And while he was waiting, he couldn't help but notice that his competitor's bid was sitting on the purchasing agent's desk. Unfortunately, the actual figure for the competitor's bid was covered by a Coke can. He got to thinking, how could it hurt if he just took a quick look at the competitor's bid? No one would ever need to know. So he reached over, lifted the Coke can, but his heart sank as he watched thousands of ball bearings pour out from the bottleless can and scatter right across the desk. It was a test set up by the purchasing agent, and he failed it. And needless to say, he didn't get that company's business. Now, I'm not sure if you can fit 1,000 ball bearings in a Coke can, but I'd like to see someone try. But he had failed the test of integrity, and that's what we're talking about tonight, is what we say we will do. And what integrity does when we say what we do and then do it, it actually pleases the Lord. And the Lord is very thrilled with that. And I hope that somewhat sets the scene for our reading now, which I've asked Brian to read for us tonight. And we're going to read from Galatians 2, 14 to 21 from the New Living Translation. Thanks, Brian.
When I saw that they were not following the truth of the gospel message, I said to Peter in front of all of the others, since you, a Jew by birth, have discarded the Jewish laws and are living like a Gentile, why are you now trying to make these Gentiles follow Jewish traditions? You and I were Jews by birth, not sinners like the Gentiles. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law. And we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law. For no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. But suppose we seek to be made right with God through faith in Christ, and then we are found guilty because we have abandoned the law. Would that mean Christ has led us into sin? Absolutely not. Rather, I am a sinner if I rebuild the old system of law I already tore down. For when I tried to keep the law, it condemned me. So I died to the law. I stopped trying to meet all its requirements so that I might live for God. My old self has been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. So I live in this earthly body by trusting in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I do not treat the grace of God as meaningless, for if keeping the law could make us right with God, then there was no need for Christ to die.
Amen. So that's the word of God before us tonight. Now, there's a lot in that scripture that parts are difficult to understand. So what I want to do is a technique that I use on occasion where we retell the passage in, well, for me, my own words tonight. And I'm going to try and tell it from Paul's perspective as he's outworking this with Peter and the Galatian believers. So let me just retell the passage for us. I, Paul, observe that those believers who are of Jewish heritage begin segregating themselves from those who are from different cultures. I can't stand for that. And I decided to speak up and to confront Peter in front of everyone, stating that they were not even following the rules laid down in the Jewish laws. Yet they were trying to make those from other cultures follow those Jewish laws. I was appalled at their hypocrisy, and I stated even further that both of us knew that we could never perfectly follow and obey the commandments laid down in the Old Testament law, and that the only way to be placed in right relationship with God is by putting your total faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we'd already talked about this beforehand. We'd already settled that as apostolic leaders. Obeying the law will never make one right with God. And I wanted to underline this again. That's why we believe in Jesus, because there's nothing we could do in our own self-effort to be sin-free. In fact, I'm pretty sure there's only one person who's been able to keep the law perfectly. His name is Jesus. Look, I understand the criticism that people have about this. Some people are saying if we abandon the law, that will somehow give us free license for people to just keep on sinning. And maybe even some say that Christ somehow endorses that. I know that's the argument that's going around at this point. But I want to put an end to that argument and say that's absolutely false. Absolutely not. That argument is as weak as water. You see, when I tried to keep the law or even just some other rule-keeping stuff, I failed miserably. Sometimes, though, I was able to keep the law, but there were many times where I failed to keep it. So I decided it's better to stop trying to meet all the requirements, because when it boils down to it, no one can do it. Only Jesus can do it. Right then and there, I laid down my self-works, my self-efforts, and everything to do with self so that I might live for the one and true God. I consider my old past self has died and been crucified on that cross of Calvary with Christ, because Jesus now lives in me. The only way I can keep living this way in this earthly body is by trusting the Son of God, Jesus Christ, to save me from my sins, because he loved me and gave his life for me and you. The grace of God means everything in my life. Let me say this one last thing to you, Peter. If it was at all possible that keeping the law and keeping a set of rules could somehow put you and I in right standing with God, then what would be the purpose of Christ dying for me or dying for us? Really, if that were the case, Christ would not have to die. But he did need to die, because there was no way we could keep the law perfectly. It's with a grateful heart that I honour the Lord in this way. Amen. So just a simple retelling in a different light to try and bring out some of the themes that are in this passage. I think this passage has a lot to teach us about God's heart, actually being spoken through the Apostle Paul here. And in a moment, I'm going to ask you two questions, and I'm going to actually get you to actually talk about this with someone else. And these are the two questions, and they're actually your application to take home tonight. What is it going to be? And here's the first question. What is the one action you are going to obey and act upon. One action to obey and to act upon. All right, so as I share some things from the passage, one thing. Second is, what is one person, or who is one person you can share this with this week? All right, and I want you to begin to think about that as I keep sharing in a moment. I'll give you opportunity. So let's talk about, what does this passage teach us about the heart of God? This is the first thing. It's going to be quite just a confronting statement, but I'm just going to say it. God hates segregation. He really dislikes it. This passage we see the Jews were separating themselves from the Gentile believers, who are non-Jewish people, because they considered their privileges and their rights as God's chosen people. Now, as we think of the opposite to segregation, we think of the way that we're called to love all races of people. There's no one race that's better than another. That's not God's economy. That's God's economy. All races are equal in the eyes of God. Now, Israel has a special place in that privilege, but as we look down the pages of history to see how man has treated man over the course of time, it's heartbreaking in some ways to see that. God's heart is always Ephesians 2:14, which states that through Jesus' own body on the cross, he broke down the dividing wall of hostility that separated us. Now, it's talking about Jews and Gentiles there, but it has, I think, ramifications for all people groups. And I believe God's heart is for us to live as one body, but many races. You know, one of the things that I love is that, Lord, would you just give us more people groups, more races that are part of our churches and from different places. So God is for one body, and he does not want us to segregate. Here's the second aspect that I want to say about God's heart. Jesus died so that he could meet God's holy standard. His standards are impossible to meet, and Jesus fulfilled the law. He met the standards, and really the only standard God uses now is what we do with Jesus, what we do when we come to him. How do we accept him? What we do with him. So the two aspects about God's heart. Now let's talk about, what does it teach us about people? What does it actually reveal about us? And to help us to be aware in these here. Here's the first one I want to share. There's always a risk that we might revert to our old ways. And I've put there of rule keeping. And I think more so it's probably an unconscious thing that we might do rather than a deliberate action. So subconsciously, we just begin to get into a routine again and thinking this is the way. We know some people who have gone back to following Old Testament law in a sense to think that they can improve on the salvation without Jesus. And that's pretty sad. Perhaps more subtly, we come to a place considering maybe certain rituals become almost like a duty to do every day for the Lord. Which may actually promote more guilt rather than motivation. I think it's good to be aware. There's always a risk to revert to our old ways. The second one is, even outstanding leaders can fall into this trap. And we see that in Peter in this instance. And by so doing, it's possible that even by our own actions that we can lead people astray. Vandana shared last week, even Barnabas was being led astray by Peter's example and his actions. So our job is to get people to focus on Jesus Christ as the one who died and gave his life for them. And we would just say integrity at all levels is essential, but we would also even say even further, integrity in leadership is essential, and to keep maintaining that. There's great leadership author by the name of Peter Drucker. He says these things about leadership in our time. He says, a leader is one who has followers. An effective leader is not someone who is loved or admired. He is someone whose followers do the right thing. Popularity is not leadership. Results are. Leaders are highly visible. They therefore set examples. Leadership is not rank or privileges, titles or money. Leadership is responsibility and service. There's something, some good things to like about that. I wonder if Peter might have felt just the pressure of his peers and his colleagues to revert back to those old ways. And maybe, in Peter's defense, maybe he subconsciously did that. He didn't do that without thinking. So it's important to think on these things. I want to come back to those two questions I shared with you before. What should you obey in response? What are you going to act upon this week? And I want you to come up with one thing as we've been sharing this scripture tonight. And the second thing is who you're going to share that with. And if you're listening to this online, I want to encourage you just to hit pause on the button and then reflect on these things and then come back. So let's perhaps just take a few moments just to begin to think. Let the Holy Spirit share with our hearts about this, what we're sharing tonight. And then we'll share just a minute or so. Okay, so you're going to get 5 minutes now, which means you've got 2.5 minutes each to share and just to pray for one another out of what is impressed upon you in the scripture tonight. All right, so we need you to be with someone else just to share. If it's a group of three, that's fine as well. All right? So your time starts now answering those two questions. Okay, so thanks for entering into that time. I want to encourage you in two ways. If you can remember to pray for one another and what has been shared in your group this week, and to go forth and maybe even keep each other accountable when you see them next. Hey, how'd you go this week? Now, it's not like a tick and a cross box, okay? It's an encouragement to say, hey, something to talk about in terms of the things of the Lord. And we've been sharing on that theme of integrity tonight, and particularly as it relates to these two outstanding leaders. And it reminds me of a time when we started building relationship with one of our daughter churches, Lifestream Stirling. Now, before the church was planted, we started to build relationship with some of the brothers and sisters from the Congolese community. And let's say we begin to notice some discrepancies in what they would say, and some of the things that they were doing were not kind of matching, put it that way. Even my translator was saying other things, and he seemed to take longer in what he was translating and not really what I was sharing. It was a discernment by the Holy Spirit. So I leaned across one day as I was preaching at the church, and I said, hey, brother, I understand Swahili, is what I told him. Which, and he was like, he was jolted. And then he began to shorten and actually share what I was sharing. So that was a bit of fun. But one example where things weren't matching was around communion, where they were telling me from a distance, they'd come to my office and say, yes, Darren, we're having communion every Sunday because, you know, that's something we really, really value and we wanted them to be doing that. And so when I'd come to preach, they weren't actually celebrating communion at all. And I would say, when was the last time? Or can't remember is what they said. So over time, myself and others had spoken into these situations, and we spoke in a context of love and gentleness with them and said, hey, we want to raise the standard of integrity in leadership. And we began to talk about those things. And what it did, it wasn't a negative. It actually, God did something in the midst of that. We actually also had to stand down one of the pastors because he had lied, he'd taken money and misspent it and so on. And we had to really gently but firmly say that's not okay and actually speak into those situations. And what it did is it raised the standard of integrity in the leadership. It raised the trust level between myself and the leaders there, plus our board. It set a standard of what they say they will do. And it's not just become an example for the rest of the church, but it's actually become an example for the other African congregations that they're associated with. They're looking at the church and saying, wow, what's the secret to what you're doing? And it's very special. As a result, they now have a healthy church. And we really praise God for that. It's never easy raising these kinds of issues, but raise them we must. And raise them in a spirit of gentleness and concern for the sake of Christ's body and his kingdom. Now, this letter is a very, very confronting letter to the Galatian Christians. But Paul is speaking very firmly, but he's coming in a spirit of love at the same time. So the scripture raised tonight is an essential issue about what we say and what we preach. We indeed need to follow through, especially when it's not popular to do so. So I want to encourage you this week, as I said before, take the one action, the one obedient step, and the one person you're going to share with. And tomorrow morning, when you wake up, you will remember, because your friend that you prayed with tonight, your brother or sister, will come and ask you, how are you going with that, and keep you accountable. But pray for each other this week. Let's pray, hey? Let's do that right now. So, Father, we thank you for the joy it is tonight to share in this way. And we thank you for this scripture, which there's some very difficult things to understand. But, Lord, I pray, Lord, give us grace and give us strength and give us your Spirit-filled determination to follow through on the Holy Spirit-activated obedience step in our hearts tonight that we've shared out loud. And, Lord, as we share this, we pray we'll draw others into raising the standard of integrity so that we might honour you and please you in every way. And as Paul says in another place in one of his letters, Lord, you urge the believers to live a life worthy of the Lord. In fact, what we are doing, but to do so more and more and more. Help us to this end. And Jesus, we just thank you tonight that you've saved us. Thank you that none of our self-efforts could have worked, but you did all the work on the cross of Calvary. We just thank you again. And we give you all the praise due to your name, in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed our latest episode. Tune in next week for another Life Streams Carawarra message. Have a blessed week.